Good evening, everybody. Good evening, good evening. Come on, if we're excited about Jesus, can we make some noise? Can you stand with us as we worship the Lord tonight? Is anybody grateful to serve a God that is consistent, a God who's the same God, the God who is a healer then? You know, we read all of these stories in the Bible about all the miraculous things that the Father has done, all the miraculous things that our Savior has done. And sometimes we read those and we believe that that was just God then. But can I encourage you tonight that He is still the same God, and that the same God that did all of those miraculous miracles, signs, and wonders in the time of the Bible is the same God who is still capable of doing so today. Do you believe that this evening? Amen.
On the God-changer, yes, whose love endures through generations. I know that You will keep Your covenant. Yeah. I'm calling on the God Moses, the one who opened up.
You're moving power.
Whatever that looks like, if it's a hand clap, if it's a Lord, I thank you. If it's a hallelujah, can we worship a God who is the same?
You were the same back then. You're still the same right now.
Situations that looks impossible. And if God himself can be all of that for us, why are we not worshiping him each and every day? There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. Break every chain, break every chain, break.
Hallelujah. The same Spirit of God that breaks every chain is the same Spirit that desires to operate in your life and in my life in spiritual gifts. Amen. And wants to speak to you when you're shopping in Walmart, picking up them Little Debbie snack cakes for your kids for school. And he shows you somebody who needs healing. And she shows you somebody that you just need to give them a word. I'm excited about Sunday morning. I've been praying about Sunday morning since Sunday afternoon. Amen. What you don't realize is that for this team, when we walk out of this building on Sunday morning, it's over, okay? You got to start right back over again and say, okay, God, what are you saying now? And I'm excited about what the Lord is saying for Sunday, believing God for a tremendous outpouring of his Holy Spirit. The title of the message will be simply Filled. We're in the book of Acts, so we're going to be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit on Sunday morning. I'm going to believe God for a fresh encounter for all of us, but even for those first timers who've never experienced just the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You got the Spirit when you got saved. That was for you. But then he has a measure for others. Okay. The getting the Spirit of God inside of you for salvation, that benefits you. But then he wants to take you to another level where you can be used by him in fullness for other people to evangelize the world. If your Holy Spirit experience is not causing you to point people to Jesus, then I doubt the validity of it. You speak in tongues all you want to, but if you're not fearless with the gospel and seeing signs and wonders follow after what you speak, then there's not a lot of fullness there. Okay? Wow. It's kind of heavy, isn't it? So let's get ready for Sunday. Let's believe God for Sunday, but tonight is Wednesday, okay? So let's just concentrate now. Just pray over tonight. Father, thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for all of the things that you have shown us in your word that are so available to us. The charismata, the gifts of grace. We don't really deserve it, but you choose to operate in our lives anyway. We get off track, you still use us. Get off track, you still cause us to speak. But Lord, the same Holy Spirit is the one that aligns our lives and speaks to us about our own life. That's why we experience times of refreshing when we repent. The times of refreshing come in the presence of the Lord. And yesterday's anointing is not sufficient for the task of today. We need a fresh encounter with you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for the people that have gathered. Thank you for an online audience, God, who's faithful. And Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight as we delineate gifts. We delineate gifts. And they're laid out before us like a buffet to look at and say, Lord, could you possibly use me in this according to your plans and purposes? What do you have on this tremendous outlay of spiritual giftings that you could possibly use me in? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Smile at somebody before you're seated. I like to go to the gas pump. If you shop at Duck Through or Speedway or wherever you shop, how many of you notice that when you buy your gas, somebody's talking to you in the speaker? Sometimes they'll have, the word for today is, have you ever heard that? Anybody ever heard that? I just prayed a word that some of you may say, what is he talking about? I said, Lord, you delineate. Tonight we're going to delineate the spiritual gifts. What does that mean? That's another word for list. Why don't you say list? Because I learned the word delineate, okay? Where did you learn that word? At the gas pump? No, I learned that in college from Dr. Kathleen Schreiner, who was my speech professor. And she taught us a new word every day when we had class Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for introduction to speech. And delineate was one that I had never heard before. It just simply means to list, okay? So enlarge your vocabulary. Be a learned person, you know, and say, you know, and thankful that you can go to the gas pump and you can learn a new word. They'll teach you a new word. Amen? So it's amazing to me that God would choose to duplicate his character in our lives. Duplicate his character. Take his character, pour it into us. He transforms our life at salvation. And then allows some of the attributes, say that word, attributes, that are communicable. Okay, we got some big words tonight, don't we? Communicable. Almost speaking in tongues saying that. Communicable. They are communicable. What does that mean? That those attributes can be transferred or communicated over to you and I. There are some attributes, however, somebody say however, that are not communicable. What are the attributes of God that you can't have? Omniscience. Even though you act like you know everything, you can't know everything. You can't be omniscient. These are the omnis, the all-powerful, the omnipotent. You're powerful, especially when you're moving in the spirit, but you're not as powerful as he is. You cannot speak, and you know, he spoke and there was light. Let it be, and there it was. Now, there are some things you can do, exploits in the power of God that, oh, wow, that's powerful. You've seen God do amazing things in your prayers. That's powerful, but it's not all powerful. It's not like that attribute that God has. And then there's omnipresent. Wouldn't it be nice to be two places at one time? He's omnipresent, which means what? He's everywhere. He's everywhere present. And so the amazing thing is that he does allow us to have some of those attributes. They're communicable attributes that we can have. And a lot of them show up in the workings of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to cover about 10 of those tonight. I know that sounds like a long list, but it's really not, because I'm not going to get deeply involved in any one of them. These gifts of the Spirit are mentioned in Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians 12, that's easy to remember, 12 and 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4 has spiritual gifts. And the first of which we're going to talk about just briefly, we've already covered, Pastor Noli covered this one at length on a night that I was not here, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but it's the gift of prophecy. You should covet to prophesy. You should earnestly desire to be able to prophesy over other people. That's the ability to receive. I'm making it easy for you tonight. I've got all the notes on overhead. It's the ability to receive and proclaim a message from the Lord. That's why I said you might be in Walmart and God may say, hey, you need to pray for that lady. And you can just kindly walk over to her and say, hey, ma'am, excuse me, but when I rounded the corner here a moment ago, I just felt the need to pray for you. Is that okay? And smile. And she said, well, sure. Absolutely. And you just follow through. And as you pray, you might even pray prophetic prayers. Okay? Listen to what the Holy Spirit begins to say through you. Some of you should write these gifts down tonight, because God's going to incorporate some of them into your life if he hasn't already. Prophetic prayers. And the receiving and the proclamation of a message of God from somebody. Romans 12, verse 6, New Living Translation says it like this. I've been kind of enjoying the New Living Translation. Anybody reading the NLT besides me? New Living Translation? I like that. I've been kind of shifting over. I might just make the break. I'm not sure. But I like the New Living Translation. This is what it said. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out. I love this part. Speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Just go with confidence. I want to pray for you, ma'am. And God, believe God's given me a word for you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And just pray that prophetic prayer. And then maybe after you conclude, you know, just say, you know, I just feel like God was speaking in that. And I believe God's going to open doors for you. I don't know what you're going through, but I just want to tell you, God says he has it. He has it. He's going to take care of you. What is that? That's encouragement. This could involve, it could, somebody say could, it could involve foretelling, F-O-R-E. There's the aspect of prophecy, the prophetic, has foretelling, that is the proclamation of something that is coming, okay? Or it could involve just simply forthtelling, okay? That is the proclaim of truth that's already existing. He says in 1 Corinthians 14:3, but the one who prophesies, look at this now, the one who prophesies speaks prophetically over someone else, strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. Okay? That's, man, I'll take that. You know, I'll take that any day. Strength, comfort, and encouragement. Come on, somebody. I'll take that any day. So that's what a prophetic word does, the gift of prophecy. The gift provides a word from God. Could be to a specific group. You know, I've called pastors out of the blue, just begin to pray for their church and just pick up the phone and say, Pastor, I was praying for you guys this morning. I don't know what's going on with you, but I just hear the Lord say, ready yourself, position yourself, that God is beginning to break up some ground, and you're going to experience a season in these next few weeks and months like you haven't experienced in a long time before. And he said, Pastor, wow, this is what we've been praying for. We've seen some evidence of it in the last couple of weeks. So I just thank you for being faithful. Because I was praying for you, and that's what I heard the Lord say. That's prophetic, okay? What was it supposed to do? Encourage, strengthen the pastor, strengthen the leader, okay? And so that is a word of encouragement, a proclamation of a truth that already exists. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. God says he's going to give you a hope and a future. That's just taking the written word of God in the power of the Spirit and lending someone courage, encouragement, strength, and stamina for the journey that they might be on. Secondly, the gift of service. Man, we'd be lost without the gift of service. The gift of service is present with you tonight. Just look around the room. There's servants. Service, the gift of servanthood. Being willing to serve. Running a camera, playing the drums, singing on the worship team, operating computers on the back line. Somebody's in the nursery tonight. That's a gift of service. Service, service, servanthood. All of us should be involved in some way. I said to one of our elders Sunday morning, I said, hey, sorry to make you double dip today. I had asked them to do a task for me on Sunday morning, and I looked, and lo and behold, they were already serving in another capacity. I said, I didn't mean to double dip on you, okay? They said, no, that's all right, Pastor, we're willing. Why? Because we have a heart of what? Servanthood. Okay? There's service. And incidentally, Romans 12:7, if your gift is serving, what does he say? Serve well. Okay? If your gift is serving, serve well. That's an interesting word. It's the Greek word in that text is like almost the same word that you get for deacon or minister. It's the word diakonos. Diakonos is a servant, one who will be willing to serve, one to be willing to give of his or her time, okay? It should not be confused with the office of a minister. That's a different word. But the aspect of it means to serve, diakonos. That's where we get the word deacon from. You know, Sheila Shepherd, she's not here tonight, but maybe she's listening, so... Thank you, Sheila, for being a servant. Sheila contacted Pastor Joy several weeks ago. Pastor Joy, I just want to ask you something. Do you guys have anybody that needs like just a visit from someone? Maybe they're going through some health issues, and they began to dialogue back and forth on the phone, and Pastor Joy just got excited and said, "Oh, this is going to be so good." And she said, I will get you names and I'll get you addresses and I will let them know that you're going to be coming to see them. What is that an example of? A servant, okay? And so now what we get messages back, hey, I just love Sheila, okay? I just love Sheila. Sheila came by the house and got to know her and, you know, just amazing because there was a servant who took the opportunity to go to the house and spend an hour. Okay, one of them told me the other day, I was in their house visiting for a few minutes, and she said, oh, I'll tell you one thing, Sheila comes, every time she comes, she brings me something. All right. So what is that? Another gift in operation. What is it? Giving. Generosity. That's, so she got a double gift going on there. Go on, girl. Got the double portion going on. See? That's a powerful thing, and it makes the strength come alive in the church, that gifting. The third gift is teaching. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm not going to, probably not going to be running across the platform here tonight sweating, okay? I like this. This is fun. This is teaching. This is proclaiming the truth of God's word in an aspect where we're just kind of comfortably, casually going through it. It's the ability to clearly explain. That's important. To clearly explain and effectively apply the truths of God's word. For what purpose? So that people can learn. This is an academic moment. This is where we're seated. We've already worshiped. We've cleaned our spirit out from, you know, what we had to put up with at work Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And here we are tonight, sitting in a position of learning, sitting in a position where we're opening the Word of God. This is a powerful experience to teach God's Word. And Romans 12:7, I'm just brief scriptures here tonight. Not we have some for every one of them, but brief words from Scripture. 12:7 says this: if you're a teacher, do what? Teach well. You know what? How many of you besides me, how many of you have ever taught a Sunday school class in the old days of Sunday school? Come on, hands all up. All right, how many of you taught that? Of all of you that raised your hand, how many of you taught a class one Sunday when you know full well you just weren't ready for it? You didn't put the time in? Oh, thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one. You just kind of winged it, right? You're just like, oh, I know that passage, okay? How many of you could also say, Pastor, when I taught a class, I learned more than anyone in the class? Come on, come on, that's right. Because you were given that opportunity to teach, and so you were preparing to teach other people, and it caused you to study the Word of God, to rightly divide the Word of truth. What does that mean? One passage of Scripture says that we are to rightly divide. I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. There it is. It says, work hard so that you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. He'll be proud of you. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. If you're in the King James, the old language is that you rightly divide the word of truth. What does that mean? It means to cut it straight. How many of you do any woodworking? Any guys done any woodworking? What happens if you make a wrong cut? You not only messed up one piece, you messed up a second piece, right? Now you got the other end of the board, you can't use it. There you go. PJ's a carpenter. He knows what I'm talking about. So the rule of carpentry is what? Measure twice and cut once, okay? All right. No, I got this. I just marked. No. Measure two times and cut it once. That's rightly dividing the lumber, okay? Making sure you have measured it correctly, and then you can pull the chop saw down on it. Zoop, and it's over with. Okay, for those of you that use those old yellow DeWalts, okay? Just pull the chop saw down and let it go. But here's the thing. The Word of God, God wants you to study it out. That's why you hear me say a lot of times, hey, pastor's going to preach, teach. Because even tonight, I know this material, but you know what I've done? Monday, a little bit Tuesday, and got up this morning at 5 o'clock looking over this stuff. I know it, but I want to still spend what with it? Time. Want to make sure I got the T's crossed and the I's dotted. Want to make sure that I'm rightly dividing what I give you tonight. I'm going to give you the what? The truth, okay? I'm not going to give you just what I think about it, because what I think about it doesn't really matter. Well, this is what I think it says. That doesn't matter. What I think the Bible says really doesn't have a lot of validity. But when I study it, when I break it down in its original language, in its context, that's so important. Why? Because, listen, what if you're just studying Revelation? You say, man, the woman who sat on seven hills, that's a big woman. Or either tiny hills. So what do you have to do? You have to find the context and the analytical approach to what kind of literature is this? What is being said here? Is this figurative? Or is it literal? Okay? So you have a task when you approach the Bible. You should always ask the Lord to help you to understand the text. Lord, anoint my learning today. Anoint my reading. Help me to understand this so that if I'm talking about the Word of God, I can do what? I can rightly divide it. Get you a Bible dictionary, okay? Get you a Bible dictionary. It's about 2.5-3 inches thick. It will save you a lot of hardship. Listen, everything's available for you today online. You don't even have to buy books anymore. I've given most of my library away because everything's available for you. www.biblestudytools.com. I've been using it for 30 years. Chuck Swindoll at the base of that. www.bible.org. And there's all kinds of Logos software. I mean, there's all kinds of avenues that you can take so that you will not make mistakes when it comes to the Bible. And so that's important, so, because you want to make sure that if your gift is teaching, you are teaching well. Okay, Ephesians 4:12 is for teachers. Their responsibility is to do what? To equip people. That's what we're doing tonight. We're equipping ourselves. What's the subject matter? Spiritual gifts. The fourth gift is exhortation. Exhortation. The ability to motivate others to respond to the truth by providing timely words or deeds relative to counsel, encouragement, and consolation. When this gift is exercised, believers are challenged to do what? Stimulate their faith. Activate their faith by putting God's truth, what he just shared with me, what she just told me, the Bible says. She just said, the Bible says. When they leave, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to find out what God is saying here. That's encouragement. That's exhortation. Some people, listen, some folk just make you feel better when you're in their presence. You know what I'm talking about? There's some people in the church you just love to get around because you say, oh, man, I just love him. He's such a precious guy, man. I get in his presence and I feel better. Then there's some folks in the church. It's just us here tonight, right? Some people in the church, you want to do what? Stay away from them. Why? Because you don't feel good when you get in their presence. All they want to talk about is negative things. You know, and you feel, man, every time I get around them, they just yak, 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 yak. Let's not be like that. Let's be people noted for spiritual gift of exhortation and encouragement. Because you know what? Criticism's not a spiritual gift. It's not. It's active in the church. But it's not a spiritual gift. It's a work of the enemy. Because the Bible says in Ephesians that if you can't say something good here, don't let unwholesome talk come from your mouth, but only, the scripture says, that which is good for doing what? Exhorting and building someone else up. Okay? So I just went over to Roger a moment ago when the service got started. You know, same God, we're singing same God. I stepped out of the aisle and I shook Roger's hand. I said, Roger, good job Sunday morning, man. What was that? Exhortation. That was just to say, hey, man, I'm proud of what you did Sunday morning. Okay? Did a great job just bringing us into the ministry of what's going on in the Philippines in his life. And you couldn't watch that and not see firsthand what Roger had his hands on when he was in the Philippines. Okay? So I was just saying to him, hey, man, I appreciate that. That's exhortation. So if your gift, Romans 12:8, if your gift is encouraging, then by all means, do what? Be encouraging, okay? Let's be encouraging. So you got a friend going in surgery. You call them the night before, girl, I just want to tell you, God's got you, okay? You're on the phone with them. Some of y'all do this. You know the Lord's watching over you, girl. You're a champion. Your better days are ahead. God's using this as a healing for you. When that surgery's over with, you're going to be a better woman. Come on now. Okay, what are you doing? You're walking in the gift of exhortation. You're exhorting someone, encouraging someone. And so you're going to, listen, girl, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord says you're going to get out of that hospital. You're going to heal up. You're going to run through the city, and you're going to leap over a wall. Come on now. What are you doing? Now you're prophesying over them, okay? Multiple gifts taking place. And you're just basically trying to encourage someone. Lift them up, build them up, point it up. Take it up, okay? Take it up. The fifth gift, the gift of giving. The gift of giving. There are two kinds of people in the world. Help me here. Givers and who? Takers. Are you a giver or are you a taker? I've shared testimony with you, not trying to brag or, you know, be boastful, but sometimes, like, man, I go through a drive-thru, and I pulled up to the speaker, and, good afternoon, welcome to McDonald's, can I take your order? I thought, this is different. This is different. This is a happy person. So, yeah, let me get a number one, large diet Dr. Pepper, supersize them fries for me, would you? Come on. Make sure I get some ketchup. I pull up there, and she says, she takes my money, and then when she gives me my change, you know, I might have a five and two ones and some change, and she releases her hand out like this, and I just say, let me have the five, and I say, you take the rest of it. She said, what? What? I said, yeah. She said, what for? I said, it's a tip. And you know what the message back to me is? Drive-through people don't expect tips. Okay? Guess what? I tip them. I go to the Food Lion grocery store and buy groceries. Girl counts my change back to me. I give her a dollar, and she says, what's this for? I said, it's a tip. For me? They're shocked. I said, you mean you don't get tips? She said, very seldom. Very seldom do I ever get a tip. I said, well, you rang me up. I appreciate you working here. People are shocked. What is that? That's giving. That's, you go, Pastor, you mean that's a spiritual gift? Why are you doing it? Because the Spirit of God told me to. Because the Spirit of God said, do this. Sow into her life. Sow into his life. Okay? That's giving. If your gift is giving, give generously. Okay? Give generously. You say, well, $2 ain't generous. For anything from McDonald's, it is. Okay, all right. I'm not a McDonald's fan, but sometimes you just got to go through the choke and go, y'all. Come on. Okay? Choke and go. How many choke and go people we got here? You go through the drive-thru, man, it'll choke you trying to put that thing down. Okay, but you're going to eat it because you're in a hurry. So I just think I'm going back to buying Happy Meals so I can get me a toy, all right? Give me a toy. Then there's the gift, and understand this. Giving is a spirit. It's a spiritual thing. So God's not looking at you keeping the math. You say, well, why didn't you give her $5? No, God's not looking at the math. God's looking at the heart of the one who gave. Okay? The heart of the one who gave. Yet, do you ever just walk up to somebody in the church who's serving here and say, hey, bro, I love the way you play them drums, and just stick cash in his hand? No, I never thought about that. Well, you will now, because I mentioned it. Have you ever just walked back there to the back line and say, Denise, I appreciate you running the overheads. Here, take this. I just got this for you. And Denise says, what in the world is this? She opens it up and it's a gift card to get her nails done. Thank you for serving. Well, I never thought about that. You will now, okay? All right? There's nothing wrong with just being very free-hearted in your giving, just blessing someone who's serving in the ministry. You know what? My wife and I love to get pedicures, get our feet done, because how lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Okay, so I don't need my feet looking like horses' hooves. Okay? So I go sit back up there in the chair, and there's two or three women down here, and there's two or three women down there, and then me and my wife are sitting there. Yeah, he's getting a pedicure. But my wife taught me this. Listen, she served you. Give her $5. Give her $10. Pedicure was $35. Give her an extra $5. Okay? Go get you a haircut, man. Get you an edge up. Come on. Give the barber charge you $10. Give him $15. Why? Because you're giving. It's a spiritual gift. It's a generosity is a spiritual gift. Okay? Number six is leadership. The gift of leadership. The gift of leadership. That's the ability to discern God's purpose for a group, set and communicate appropriate goals for that group, motivate people in that group to do what? To work together and to fulfill them in their service to God. A person with this gift is effective in doing what? Delegating tasks. okay? Delegating tasks. Sometimes people will call me and say, Pastor, could you do so and so and so? I said, sure, we can take care of that for you. Get off the phone. Hey, Wesley, what you doing on the such and such a date? Say, are you available to? Yeah, I say, okay, I need you to do this. Okay? If it doesn't mean that I have to do it, but I know I've got somebody qualified who also has a heart to do it and a willingness to do it. And the pastor knows those servants in the church who have a willing heart. Okay? And they'll do anything you ask them to do. He also knows the ones you don't need to ask. Oh, anytime you need somebody, just call me. I've called you 6 times. You've never been willing to do a thing. Okay? I'll make a cake. I love to bake cakes. Hey, we need a cake. Oh, I'm going to be out of town. Oh, I'm going to be working in the yard now. Oh, I don't have a cake mix. Thought you were willing. Okay? Be careful. Be careful what you say you're willing to do, and then when you get a chance to be tested in that, you're not willing to do it. Okay? Leadership is being a person who's in the capacity of overlooking that whole organization, knowing where the strengths are, knowing where the weaknesses are, knowing who to contact, who not to contact, knowing the one who's more than willing to serve. The pastor knows those kinds of things, if he's a good leader, okay? Leadership, Romans 12:8. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. Seriously. You know, when we were going through upgrades here, there's so much, I'm sitting on so much right now that you never even knew it happened or existed. And we had qualified people in this church, PJ, Kenny, who saved the church, literally hundreds, maybe even to the thousand of dollars by coming out here after work, get off work at 5, run to the church at 5:30, work at the church till 10 o'clock. Did the work because they were skilled and willing to serve in that capacity. A leader knows those things. A leader knows where those giftings are, those skills are, and is willing to plug them in at the right place in the right time. Leaders will be like the cream. They're going to rise to the top. Peter was a great example of a leader. Jesus took these guys on a retreat. He wanted to get out of the context of religiosity in that day, and he took them to a place called Caesarea Philippi. And he sat down with those guys, and he said, guys, I got a question to ask you. People are saying things, you know, about who I am. And what are they saying? Can y'all help me? Can you guys help me here? And all the disciples are quiet. Because Jesus has an uncanny way of making an example out of you if you're not careful. He's a strong leader. And so finally, Peter speaks up and says, well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist or one of the prophets. And Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? Again, it's quiet. Nobody say anything. Then the leader speaks up. Peter, I say you're the Christ, Christos, the anointed one, the Messiah. He says, man, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Peter, that same one, who on the day of Pentecost, what does he do? He stands up, he speaks up, and he says, men and women, let me just tell you, this is that which was promised, that by Joel the prophet, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit. He was leader enough to stand up. Somebody's going to rise to the top of a group as a leader, okay? There are leaders in every group. Some people will never speak up, and some people will always speak up. So if God's given you the gift of leadership, take that responsibility seriously. The seventh one is mercy. Mercy, okay? The gift of mercy. That is the ability to deeply empathize and engage in acts of compassion on behalf of people who may be suffering physically, mentally, or even emotionally. Those who walk with this gifting will manifest concern, kindness to people that are often overlooked. Okay? You know, do you ever go into a crowd and you see people engaged in conversation? Maybe you're in the Family Life Center and the tables are full and people are eating their tacos and, man, they're drinking their drinks and eating their chips and all that stuff, having a good time. And you look across the table and you see somebody way over there in the corner and they're just right by themselves. What would you say? Sometimes Pastor Joy has leaned over me and say, hey, let's go sit over there. Okay? So we'll say, oh, okay, yeah, I see what you mean. So we get our stuff, okay? And we move our plates and we say, hey, can we sit with you? Sure. What is that? Mercy. Mercy looked out and saw someone who was alone. All this conversating going on, all this yak. And there's somebody over there sitting by themselves. It appeared that nobody chose to sit with them. Nobody wanted to sit with them. Maybe they're just not engaged in what's going on. So if you have a gift of mercy, then you will look and see that, and you will find it, and you will situate yourself along that person. How many of you would willingly say, Pastor, I've noticed in my life God has moved in my life in the mercy gift? Come on. There you go. That's a wonderful thing. Probably 12 of you have raised your hand. Your eyes are open. Your spirit is open. And you're looking for that person that if you're not careful, they'll get overlooked. Underdogs, okay? Not high achievers. Not real vocal people. But they're quiet, they're reserved, they're isolated. And God has chosen the mercy gift to reach out to those people. What a beautiful thing, okay? The mercy person will bring the stray dog home, y'all. Come on, okay? Walk in the house. I said, Joy, what have you got? She said, honey, he was on the side of the road. I said, yeah, but we got Bogey. Well, they'll get along, okay? Okay. Well, we can give him to somebody else. And you're on the phone, hey, you guys looking for a puppy? The mercy gift will bring the stray dog home. The mercy gift will stop the car, get out of the car, run in the middle of the road and pick up that big turtle and put him on the side of the road. Because at least now he won't get smashed. Any of y'all ever done that? Come on. That's right. It's a mercy gift. The mercy gift will ask their husband at the stoplight, you got any money? Guy's holding a sign, we'll work for food. And the husband says, he won't hit a lick of the snake, lazy dog out here trying to get free money. But the wife says, no, honey, he needs it. Look, it says he needs food. The mercy gift will kick in. And here's the good news. You're not responsible for what he does with it. What are you responsible for? What the Holy Spirit said to you at the stoplight, okay? Sometimes I just do a little test. Sometimes I pull up to the stoplight, and I saw them at the stop sign when I was growing up there. He's got the sign, and I pull up, and I'm looking straight ahead, okay? Then all of a sudden, I'll just look that way, and he goes, okay, here we go. That, what is that? It's mercy. You know what I've never experienced in my life? Feeling like I had to stand on a corner and ask for something. So I really don't know what's behind that sign. I really don't know the true story, okay? But I have been guilty. I hate to tell you all this, but this is Wednesday night confessional. I have been guilty of looking at those people and say, man, he don't need none. He just needs to get out and get a job. A lot of people hiring. You ever said that? Come on. Let's not do that, because you know what? We really don't know. What if there is a valid need there? What if he's tried? What if he's got such a track record he can't get a job? Okay? He's tried, but the background check has kept him from getting a job. Okay? So you might be, because of your mercy, you might be the one who put food on his table tonight. Okay? So you got to ask the Holy Spirit, man. Well, the pastor said, don't worry about what the pastor said. You follow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead you to either say yes or no, okay? So you listen to the Holy Spirit over me, okay? Because I could tell you something to do and it might not be the right thing. Romans 12:8. If you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly, okay? Number 8 is wisdom. The ability to apply principles of the Word of God in a practical way to specific situations and to recommend the best course of action at the best time. Wisdom is what? Knowledge applied. Wisdom is knowledge applied. Who do you usually look to for wisdom? Who? Elderly people, elders, older people. Say what? Somebody said, like pastor. No, I'm not old. Who do you normally look to for wisdom? People who've been there, done that, and bought the t-shirt, okay? People who've been down this road before. I can remember times as a pastor. I could take you to the spot from Greenville to Ahoskie. I left the hospital in Greenville one night. I called a pastor that I trusted. He was a Baptist brother over in Northampton County. His name was James Hester. I had his number in my phone. I call him up, and I'm ringing his phone. Wallace Phillips. I said, Pastor James, how are you, man? I said, look, I'm in a jam. I've got to have some help. What you need? And I described a pastoral scenario that I was going through, and I wasn't sure how to handle it. I was pastoring this church. And I gave him some sentences. I started telling him the scenario. He said, that's enough right there. And I said, what? He said, that's enough. I got it. And he gave me the steps and how to handle what I was going through. And I did it to the T just like he told me. Why? Because he was operating out of what? Wisdom. Godly wisdom from years of experience. Then there's knowledge, the gift of knowledge. The ability to discover, analyze, and systematize truth for the benefit of others. With this gift, a person speaks with understanding. You might have seen this happening. I've seen other in the congregation here, others do this. Pastor Noli, on the platform, I'm just hearing the Lord say, someone's here this morning, you've got an issue, and you know, over here on your left side, and I'm just feeling that God is saying there's somebody here struggling, there's a pain in your back left side, and all of a sudden somebody will stand up. Okay, what is that? It's the gift of the word of knowledge. Stuff that you wouldn't even know, okay? You wouldn't have a clue that there was a pain, okay? Or maybe somebody's going through an emotional situation. Bingo, hit the bullseye. Somebody comes to the altar to get prayer for that. That is the gift of the word of knowledge. The gift can come one-on-one. It can come at the altar. It can happen over coffee. It can be from the pulpit. It can be anywhere. You might wake up and the Spirit of the Lord speaks something to you. You say, whoa, I'm going to call her in the morning. And you, over your coffee, you ring the phone. Hey, girl, you okay? Yeah, why? Because I was praying for you last night and the Lord, and they start crying on the other end of the phone. That's the spiritual gift of the word of knowledge. The last one tonight is faith. Faith. Every one of us have been dealt a measure of faith. We're born with it. God put in us a little bit of faith. Faith to receive. Faith to receive Christ when that opportunity comes. This is the ability to have a vision for what God wants to be done and accomplished and to confidently believe that it will be accomplished. Man, I've got the faith of a giant. And God's going to do this. And you just know God's going to do this. 1 Corinthians 12:8 says this, the same Spirit gives great faith to another. Comes from the Spirit of God like other spiritual gifts, but to one person he gives great faith. Great faith. And some people just have the faith to believe. Maybe they haven't had the faith to believe for something for themselves, but in your situation, I've just got faith to join with you. And the Word of God says, if two shall agree touching any one thing, the Bible says it's a done deal. And so you exercise faith because you're walking in the gift of faith. 10 gifts that I've shared with you tonight. I hope you wrote them down. I hope you wrote them down. And I hope also that you will say this, Lord, here's 10 gifts. God, what would you use me in? Would you have me to speak a word of prophecy over someone? Would you have me to understand a word of knowledge about something that I couldn't have a clue about, but you gave me the reality, and it's the truth to share with someone. Would you have me walk in the gift of faith? Would you have me to walk in mercy for someone? I'm telling you, God wants to release spiritual gifts in your life, okay? If you stand together with me tonight, let's just ask the Lord to just dispatch these spiritual gifts to us. Lift your hands, would you? Just lift your hands in a receptive way with your palms up. Just your palms up like I'm a receiver. Lord, would you just release the charismata, the grace gifts to your children? Would you tonight, God, just cause people to just discern, to hear you saying, hey, I'm gonna use you in this. Get ready. Would you download for us that ability that is not really our own, but it's by the Spirit? Would you help us, God, to receive all that you have for us? And tomorrow when the sun comes up, for us to not be surprised at all when we hear you saying, pray for that one. Hey, go over to that guy. Tap her on the shoulder. Lord, let us not be surprised, because you are a spiritual God and you release spiritual gifts to your children. Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Come on, sing a worship song here. There you go.
To be a sanctuary.
Say to you tonight, if there's some here, you say, Pastor, I sure would like for somebody to pray with me tonight. Just step out of your seat right where you are. Just step out of your seat and come. I sure would love to have someone to pray with me. I'm challenged with a situation, need healing in my body, whatever it is. Just step out of your seat if you need prayer tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Come on now, here's your opportunity. You have the opportunity to move out in spiritual gifting right now. Can you look at some of these that have come and say, hey, I think I'll just go over and pray for them? Anyone? Anyone? There you go. I think I'll just pray for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Body ministers to body. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm excited about Sunday morning. I want you to be praying with me about Sunday morning. We were talking about that earlier. Some of you that You're stuck with the tongues thing. How many of you say, Pastor, the whole tongues thing just concerns me? Come on, raise your hand. Just the whole tongues thing, I just don't get it. There you go. I don't understand it. Anybody? I don't understand the whole tongues thing. All right? Guess what? They didn't either. All right? What meaneth this? Okay? They didn't get it either. They didn't get it either. We have some wonderful examples, real life examples that I've experienced that I'll share with you on Sunday morning. That'll be a powerful reminder. You shouldn't be seeking tongues anyway, okay? You should seek the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't seek tongues. Don't seek the tongues. That's not what you're supposed to be going after. Going after the dynamics. Going after the mighty power, the dunamis. And you, do I have to speak in tongues, Pastor? No, you get to, okay? You get to speak in tongues. All right? Thank you, Lord. Father, I just bless you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, for everyone tonight who's come out and who's positioned themselves to hear spiritual gifts. Take these 10, Lord, that we've talked about tonight and activate those in our lives. Activate those spiritual gifts. Lord, you may activate all of them in us if that's your desire. But activate those gifts. Give us spiritual ears to hear you speak to us, our spirit, on how we should release the grace of God through spiritual gifts in our walk with you. Thank you for opportunities. Thank you for clarity and insight on spiritual gifts in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We're winners tonight. We're walking in spiritual gifts. Thank you guys for watching tonight. Those of you who are online, we appreciate you tuning in every week. And join us on Sunday, would you? The message will be entitled Filled. You don't want to miss it. God's going to help us understand the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Have a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday evening. God bless you.